For 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcast, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen into my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the PerfiLite, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America. Get the PerfiLite, the American water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
By Yahweh's Design with your host, Pastor Dan. And now once again, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this one-hour live radio broadcast coming to you via realityradionetwork.com, also located at .net and .org. We dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Covenant peoples of the world. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Tonight is the 8th of April, year 2004, Thursday evening, and tonight is part 6 in a continuing series entitled The Immigration Invasion, and our guest tonight is a foremost expert on the immigration problem, Frosty Wooldridge, and welcome to the program, Frosty.
Good evening, Pastor Dan. It's a pleasure being with you.
All righty. The call-in number, as usual, if you have a comment or question, is 260-356-2611. And again, that's 260-356-2611. If it's busy, please try again. Or if you have access to email, you can email us by writing to steve@stevemelching.com. And again, that's steve@stevemelching.com. Also, if you wish to write to us, you can do so by writing to By Yahweh's Design, in care of Post Office Box 436, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. And our past programs are all located on this website, www.archiveondemand.com. That's all together, archiveondemand.com. And the subscription price is $6.95 per month of unlimited access to all of our past program. Okay, Frosty, immigration, got to be, you know, it's a topic I keep hearing more and more people talking about as they become aware of the fact that, I mean, we are just being swamped with this immigration, both legal and illegal these days. Are you seeing that rise of awareness from where you sit, or what?
There's no question that I'm almost in the front row seat. I'm in the second row seat, being in Colorado, right behind Arizona, and certainly in New Mexico and Texas. And I just want to correct with you real quick. Next week I will not be able to be with you, but I will be able to be with you on the 22nd. And then I won't be able to be with you on the 29th. So at least we can get the 22nd in 2 weeks from now. And I'm sure I'll have more information. One of the things that's happening is that here in the United States, there are so many illegal aliens in this country that now the politicians are starting to pander toward the lawbreakers. And that is no more evident in all the states and the cities across America where mayors of cities and police chiefs and sheriffs who were voted into office by American citizens and governors of states are now pandering to the illegality of those who have broken our laws and are in actuality federal felons. If anyone remembers, we talked about Special Order 40, and that particular order is a sanctuary policy that allows illegal aliens to remain in this country with immunity because they cannot be arrested and detained by our local law enforcement no matter what they do. And that particular Special Order 40 has been adopted by, of course, it started in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, New York City, and Cleveland, I think Cleveland, but dozens and dozens of cities have adopted this so that illegal aliens can walk among, work illegally, and be a part of those cities with impunity, even though they are federal felons. And that has been happening now since 1979, and it's starting to take a toll. As I remember telling you a couple weeks ago, that 29% of our state and federal prisons are filled with illegal aliens and legal immigrants that are costing the federal government, which is you, $1 billion a year. Now, this week, I had several people from Florida ask me to write an editorial and send it out to some of the big newspapers, in fact, all of them in Florida, and it's been now going all over Florida. And it has to do with the fact that not only are the mayors of cities and the state senators and congressmen and women in all these states are pandering to the illegal alien and Latin American vote, if you will, because so many millions of them have come into our country legally and illegally, that they are now pandering to the illegal lawbreakers more than they are representing American citizens. And a week ago I wrote that piece on Chris Cannon in Utah, and in fact I will be on a radio station out there here in another week or so.
Uh-huh.
And Chris Cannon of Utah, along with Orrin Hatch, pander to illegal aliens. And they are moving against federal law, and we'll speak about that this evening. But the latest piece, and I'm going to go on two different editorials I've written in the last couple of days. One is going to be in the Washington Dispatch probably tomorrow, and then on Monday there will be another one on the Border Patrol invasion from Border Patrol from a holster of a Border Patrolman, part two. And it's pretty sobering, and we'll discuss that in the second half hour here.
Uh-huh.
The piece that is out today, that should be published tomorrow, is called When President Bush Won't Enforce the Law and His Brother Breaks It. Now, Pastor Dan, your listenership whom I'm getting quite familiar with and appreciate, probably listened to Tom Brokaw this last week, and this is the first time that a national newscaster of the stature of Tom Brokaw admitted for the first time ever on network national television that our southern borders are being invaded. And, of course, he recognized that we have in excess of 2,000 illegal aliens pouring across the border 24/7. And the running total at this point is upwards of 13 million and climbing. And, of course, these illegal aliens are overwhelming our health care, our schools, our language and infrastructure. And from California to Florida, an illegal alien invasion disrupts the foundation of America's stability. And unfortunately, we all know that the last four presidents, both Democrats and certainly Republicans, have not done anything to discourage or stop the invasion. And the ones who benefit are the major corporations that make huge profits via cheap labor and then, of course, enjoy more consumption at the expense of the American taxpayer, because when you added a couple million immigrants to this country every year, those corporations get to have more food and clothes, and, you know, everybody's buying something more, and so often it's on the taxpayer dollar because of welfare. And so anyway, the frustration is this, is that both George Bush swore on the Bible to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and his brother Jeb, the governor of Florida, gave a solemn oath to uphold the laws of Florida and the United States. First of all, George Bush is not doing his job, and secondly, his brother is breaking U.S. laws by, this week, Jeb Bush has put his endorsement of giving illegal aliens a driver's license, and it's SB 1360, and this is the catch here. It is against federal law, and I'll quote this law. It comes from 1324, and it has several sections on Section 8 USC. You can look it up. I quote, this is a federal law, a person, including a group of persons, business, organization, or local government, commits a federal felony when she or he assists an illegal alien he or she should reasonably know is illegally in the United States or who lacks employment authorization by transporting, sheltering, or assisting him or her to obtain employment or encourages that illegal alien to remain in the United States by referring him or her to an employer or by acting as an employer or agent for an employer in any way or knowingly assists an illegal alien due to personal conviction.
Incredible.
That is the federal law which Jeb Bush, who was elected to serve Floridians, is breaking a federal law by pushing into endorsing an illegal driver's license, I mean a driver's license, a legal document for illegal aliens who have broken our federal laws to come to this country. And I interviewed down there one of the real kicker here is that what Jeb Bush should be doing is calling Tom Ridge of Homeland Security and say, I want your agents down here to start rounding up and deporting all these illegal aliens in Florida. And Florida right now has something, they're closing in on a million illegal aliens in Florida. And it's becoming so bad down there that American citizens are starting to flee their homes because they cannot sustain themselves in neighborhoods where the drugs are running wild. These people work for cash and therefore don't pay taxes, and then they start buying these homes and live 15, 20 or more to a house, and they have five cars in the front yard, and they go off to their daily work, and the neighborhood turns into loud music, drunken revelry parties, drugs, and of course people who could care less about aesthetics, picking up their own trash after themselves, and living with any respect for their neighbors. And the second part of that is that I ask in this op-ed, does Jeb Bush understand that two of the WTC bombers on 9/11 had obtained driver's licenses from a Mexican national in the state of Virginia? Then you have to ask yourself, who and what is the next illegal alien? And now I've gotten reports from some of my contacts down in Florida that the driver's license bureaus are being overtaken by Mexican nationals and even legal immigrants who are on the take. And so anyone could go into that driver's license bureau who is really a terrorist and gain a legal document of a driver's license. So you can imagine what kind of can of worms that's going to open up.
Isn't this kind of activity by our public servants prima facie evidence of treason?
That's correct. If we were in a war right now where the United States was fighting a big war, there's no question this would be treasonous. But in fact, with Jeb Bush endorsing this driver's license bill for illegals, he has another, another Hispanic, Florida Senator Rudy Garcia, wants to give these federal felons legal documents so that they can become citizens. He wants to give illegal aliens, here's an American citizen of Hispanic descent down there in Florida who wants to give illegal aliens, and he's pushing for that, citizenship.
Well, let me interject something here real quick, Crosby. Now, you don't have to agree with this, of course, but this is just an observation on my part. As I study history of this country, and we've mentioned this on previous broadcasts, this country was started by a group of people along racial lines. Okay, now race is a taboo to be even talked about in America today. Not so when I was a child, but today. However, in observing the way things are going right now, through the 60s and 70s, they convinced us that race no longer mattered. And that's continued up to this day, but it started back in the 60s and the 70s. And what they told us was that anybody could become a citizen, and as a citizen have rights to be part of our government and be part of the decision-making, etc. What I see happening, and you correct me if I'm wrong, what I see happening is that the lie that race doesn't matter is starting to come apart as these various groups of people reach significant numbers, then they are adhering to racial lines. They are making decisions along racial lines in spite of what our handlers told us back in the 60s and 70s. Much the same way as I believe Tom should have mentioned in his book Civil War II, that when push comes to shove, people are going to revert back to the law of the jungle, the law of nature, which says that you care about your family, and extending that further out, you're going to take care of your race. Now, that's the way I see things happening. You tell me if you do or don't.
As a matter of fact, Pastor Dan, there is a chapter in my book that deals exactly with that topic, and yes, you are exactly correct, and that is now happening right there in Southern California. They feel that all Southern California is Mexico El Norte, and that they are simply on the northern side of the Mexican line that is Mexico, and that they are absolutely have a mission to reclaim California, certainly Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas back into the fold of Mexico. That is absolutely correct, and it is totally an ethnic kind of ethnocentricity.
It's incredible to me. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to make the people who founded this country wake up. I mean, so far they have acquiesced in every situation. They have allowed interlopers, aliens, to come in. As you said, they are now taking over many of the bureaucratic stations within the departments of transportation, defense, etc. And they are obviously playing favorites to their kindred. When are the people who founded this country going to wake up to this kind of nonsense? And I don't know, are we beyond the point of no return to where we're just going to have to sit and watch her melt down and then hope we can rebuild her from the ashes?
We are perilously close. As a matter of fact, I'll give you an example. Just in the last 2 weeks, I was working with on a series with a radio station down in Colorado Springs, Colorado, which is near Pueblo, and all the host did was talk about illegal aliens of every ethnic type, whether it was a French illegal alien or a German illegal alien or a Swedish illegal alien. And all we did on this program for in excess of 2 months was advocate the rule of law and deporting and rounding up and deporting illegal aliens whom are totally in violation of our federal laws. The Latin American citizens, both legal and illegal, in Pueblo threatened to boycott a whole bunch of businesses in that arena. And in fact, because of that, the radio talk show was taken off the air from the pressure by the Latin American community, and so much of it, we have over 150,000 illegal aliens in the state of Colorado. And guess what? They won. And that is an example of what's headed for all of us across this country as these different, especially the Latin American contingent, takes over and becomes more powerful. And as I think we did a week ago, I read you some of the quotes from Maldif, from La Raza, from Lulac, from Shirla. And these people, as they gain greater numbers, you are absolutely correct. They take no names, and they don't take any addresses. They simply overwhelm, and they shoot first, and then take names later.
It's incredible. You know, they're practicing what I was told anyway the Mormons did when they moved into Utah. Instead of trying to proselytize the locals, they outbred them. These aliens come in with the same kind of mentality. They're not coming in to assimilate. They're coming in to outbreed us, and just by simple force of numbers, force their way of life on us. That's the way I see it happening.
Well, as a matter of fact, as my book is now nearly finished, I have just finished the last chapter. I have one more chapter to deal with the crime and corruption down at the Cubans and the Hispanics down in Miami. I just received a letter from a woman who is a Mexican-American. She was born in the United States with two illegal alien parents and moved to she moved to Indiana. And I have to keep her name, as a fictitious name, of course, in the copy. She also she joined the U.S. military, and she almost felt a twinge of guilt because she wrote an expose on the real what's going on in Mexico, because she's lived in both countries, and she has an appreciation of what the Mexicans think of us. And boy, oh boy, her chapter follows my chapter on diseases, the Silent Invasion and Deadly Consequences chapter, which I'm writing with a registered nurse from Montana. And oh my gosh, she absolutely compliments and supports everything I said of why third world countries have so much disease. The reason being, of course, is they have such poor sanitation. Well, let's face this fact. They have very little, if any, sanitation. That's why in Mexico right now we have just entertained 16,000 new cases of MDR tuberculosis, Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which has come over the U.S. border from Mexico in the bodies of illegal aliens in just the last 4 years, and it's now spreading across the country. And, of course, hepatitis in excess of 100,000 cases, because you have to figure we've got 13 million illegal aliens, have come across those borders. And she explained right there the fact that in the third world, if they even have a toilet at all, they cannot use toilet paper and flush it down. Therefore, they throw it off to the side. And here in the United States, they're throwing it in the trash cans, and they're throwing it in the side of the restroom, so much so that in California, you don't dare walk into a restroom and use it because you are literally breathing in air of all sorts of germs and all sorts of anything you touch. And the fact is that these third world people do not wash their hands after using the bathroom, and therefore when they go to the fast food preparation food line, cutting up your tomatoes or your onions or the lettuce, their hands that are soiled and very possibly full of hepatitis and or tuberculosis, you are at risk. So, yes, you're starting to see this. And she wrote this piece, that I just incorporated into the book. And I tell you what, and I've been all over Mexico, I can tell you what she says, but this is an American, a Mexican-American said she felt more loyalty to America because she was a U.S. military person. As a matter of fact, she's a U.S. Marine, RN. And I told her she had the chance to be, you know, attacked by Maldeef and a few other things. She says, I'm going to stand for my country. So that's what's happening, and you better believe it. We are in so much trouble.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, we may have a few new listeners. Just to let them know your background a little bit, and why don't we touch on that for a minute about your bicycling, Guinness Book of World Records, just real quick go through that so they know that you know you've been there to see it up close and personal. This isn't just secondhand information that you're presenting tonight.
Okay, well, the listeners that are out there tonight, and hopefully all of you will start taking action for your country, you can go to my website. It's www.frostywooldridge.com, FrostyWooldridge.com. It has a biography on my world exploration on bicycle of six continents now, 100,000 miles. In the last 26 years, I've worked with top scientists all the way down to Antarctica, and I have seen the third world up close and personal. On the back of my bicycle, I've written quite a few books. You can go to Amazon.com. Strike 3, Take Your Base came out 2 years ago. I have a new book coming out next month, which is literally in the final process of being published. It's Bicycling Around the World. The next book coming out after that is End of the Wind. It's a teenage novel, my second teen novel, and it's about values and coming of age. And my Antarctica, An Extreme Encounter, will be coming out the month after that. But the book that's going to rock this country, and I now have some backing for it to get national PR, is called Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences. This book is absolutely loaded with what is happening to America and what will happen if we continue to sit back and let this immigration invasion continue. And in just a couple of weeks, I'm going to, as I get these final galleys done, I'm going to take a two-week tour of the border of Mexico and Arizona and even down into Texas. I'll come back with the stories about the colonias that I talked about previously and, of course, how fast these invasion numbers are coming across the border and the trash and the filth and the human defecation and the diseases they're leaving in the desert. So it's that's just a little of my background. I'm a teacher. I just formerly taught here in Colorado math and science. I have also taught creative writing at Cornell University, magazine writing, a guest lecturer at Michigan State University. I have been a guest lecturer in environmental science at Colorado University, at Denver University, at Regis University, and I've also taught religion and ethics as a guest lecturer at Front Range Community College here in Denver. And that's a little bit of my background, and that's what I have done. And you can see that on the website. I'll also want everyone who's listening to tell your friends and get on the Internet and join NumbersUSA.com. That's NumbersUSA.com. This is a grassroots organization that is working to stop all these driver's licenses of illegal aliens, stop the DREAM Act, stop the anchor babies, the chain migration, and lower immigration down to under 100,000 per year and get a 10-year moratorium is what I'm advocating for of immigration, all immigration. It's also helping to try to stop the H-1B visas and the L-1 visas that have put a million Americans out of work. And the key here is that we just put on now, I'm not kidding on this, Pastor Dan, 20,000 people have joined that Numbers USA in just the last 2 months since the amnesty speech by President Bush. That's how many Americans are so angry, are so fed up, are so absolutely ready for some action to be taken on this invasion of illegal aliens into our country, disrupting and really in the process of destroying the United States of America as we know it.
Well, absolutely. That's encouraging to know that many people are actually becoming doers and not just hearers. I could quote the verse, but those that read their Bibles know that that's what it says. The admonition, of course, is to be doers and not hearers only of the word. And we are to resist anything that creates evil or bad situations. The Old Testament, particularly Deuteronomy, Leviticus, always said that where Israelites go, and we are the Israelites of old. We've discussed that on many programs on this radio program. And it told us not to allow aliens to come into positions of authority over us, because we were given the job to administer his law here. And we do that by example. Lead by example. And this nation was an example to the rest of the world. And now we have, as I said, acquiesced, we've given up, and turned the responsibility of running the show over to people who do not adhere to our cultural beliefs. And it's evident, as you said, we've got wide open borders. It should be an overnight decision to shut them borders down. And yet it's not being done. So obviously, the people we have in government are not of a mindset to protect this nation. Would you agree with that?
That's absolutely correct. And, of course, at the end of my editorial, I wrote, and I quote, "Where does that leave American citizens and Floridians who play by the rules? Who voted on the laws? Who obeys the laws? Was Jeb Bush voted into office by illegal aliens? Was his oath of office meant to serve them and not Americans? How many times can you bend, break, and manipulate the rule of law until it no longer sustains this country? And then after you answer those questions, try these on for size. How long and how many illegal aliens can this country absorb before our systems break down? How many people can Florida take before it runs out of water? How about the police protection for the growing gang activity? How many Floridians want another 5 million people driving, building, adding walls, clogging highways, and polluting the air, water, and land?" And at that point, I gave the 800 number for the legislators, and plus the Senate.gov and the House.gov. And I say right here, and I've said it many times before, my father said it to me, "God helps those who help themselves." And the only way democracy works in this republic is when you participate.
Absolutely. Well, we talked about a bumper sticker I saw many years ago that helped me get started on the path of, I don't know if you want to call it enlightenment or a discovery of what the word really says. And the bumper sticker stated, "God's law or chaos." And I think that's where we're at. We've abandoned God's law in this nation. We only pay it lip service, just as our public servants pay the Constitution lip service. And as a consequence of this abandonment of our moral law, our common law, we now have chaos. And so I see a root of the problem is that we need to get the people to be aware that we have to get back to obeying God's law. Hold off on your comment on that thought, because we've got to take a short break.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Quayle, and for over 10 years and thousands of hours of radio broadcasts, I've been warning and preparing individuals and families of the great perils that are now upon us by having interviews with some of the more interesting and controversial guests in the country. It benefits you to listen into my previous radio broadcasts, which are available by subscription to archiveondemand.com or by calling Steve Melching at 260-356-2611. Time is running out. The information you may gain could mean the difference between life and death. So once again, call Steve Melching at 260-356-2611.
And now back to Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, tonight's program is part 6 in a continuing series on the immigration invasion. Our guest tonight is Frosty Wooldridge. And welcome back, Frosty.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. And there's no question exactly what you stated. We have gone away from the laws of this land, certainly God's law, certainly the responsibilities that each one of us needs to take in order to make and continue this country as a functioning society. And I have said this before in some of my editorials, and I say it again. The very fact that immigration laws have been so disobeyed, have not been enforced for the last 15 to 20 years, starting in 1985, when President Reagan actually in 86 gave a one-time only amnesty to over, I think it was at that time, 3 million illegal aliens. Of course, now, and it was the one time only, and now, of course, they're trying to give another one, which God knows will be a one time only, but this time it's in excess of 13 million, and it could be even higher. And so with the loss of the rule of law and the loss of our elected representatives enforcing the law, I contend that it is one of the major reasons why 9/11 happened. Because Osama bin Laden is a smart man, and he knew that we had very little immigration control in the United States. He knew that we were not enforcing driver's licenses for anyone, and he knew that students could go to flight schools and just work right into the wonderful American mosaic and simply gain their licenses and could be using licenses, which they did, driver's licenses, that they were enjoying since 1979, the Special Order 40, which is, gives immunity to all illegal aliens from being arrested for breaking our laws. And in fact, if you follow on Mish News there, the three-part series I did from the police officer squad car, police officers are just totally, hands are tied, and they cannot do anything about these illegal aliens, and the illegal aliens are laughing at our police across this nation. They're laughing at the rule of law. So when you think about the laxness of the immigration laws, you think about the laxness at the airport security, they had, you know, people being paid really poor wages to check anybody at the airport security, so that all of these suicide plane driving terrorists simply waltzed onto the plane, had little and no obstruction whatsoever, and then bombed this country I'm amazed at this point. We're so lucky. Hitting the Pentagon was a bad thing, but what if they would have hit the halls of Congress? They would have torn the heart and soul, or even the White House, right out of this nation. And we all suffered, and we suffered because our Congress and our Senate have been, and these presidents, whether it's Clinton or Bush 1 or Bush 2, and certainly Reagan, I'm an equal opportunity critic here, simply did not enforce the laws of this land. And it gave a huge opening. And if you look across the country right now, we now have what is called SIR, to be. It's a Latin American term. And it is absolutely, it's an underground railroad that has over 80 safe houses, and once those illegals get transported, we have this underground network railroad of transporting and giving false documents to all of these illegal aliens, and they are now making major infiltration into this country. And certainly, if you look at the what it said about the Iraqis over in Iraq and Brokaw and Jennings tonight, where are those insurgents storing their weapons, and what are they doing? In the mosques, right there in Baghdad and Fallujah and Tikrit and so forth. Well, where do you think they're storing that stuff right here, right now in this country?
Don't know.
Well, just take a guess and a gander. Again, if you start looking at the terrorists and how they're building up, they're living among their own. We have, 4 million more plus Middle Eastern immigrants in this country?
Oh, yeah.
And so we literally we're importing our own demise, and it only at some point is going to be felt as we get the next 9/11, because you can bet they are planning the next 9/11 as we speak on this program.
Well, we have a lot of problems in this country. The open borders, to me anyway, from where I sit, is one facet of the numerous facets to this problem. And again, to me, the root of it all is the fact that the people who are supposed to be in charge have taken a back seat. As the scripture says, they've become the tail, and all the other people who were supposed to be the tail have become the head, and everything is upside down. Scripture says good would be called evil, and evil would be called good. That's exactly where we're at. Everything is upside down, from our families to the way the education system works. The churches are teaching doctrines of devils in most of them, probably 90-some percent of them. The people go in there, they don't hear any truth, they don't get motivated to do anything constructive. They're basically told to go back to sleep. Their job as a, quote, good Christian is to just sit back and let these antichrists run the country. I don't know. I mean, we've got so many problems.
And my heart goes out because everyone listening is going to, if they have not been affected by this invasion yet, it is a guaranteed fact that you will be affected in the coming months, for sure, and definitely in the coming years. And on more than likely on Monday, this piece right here is called Immigration from a Border Patrolman's Holster Part 2, and it's titled The Quagmire of Filth Across Our Deserts. And in this piece, and I'm going to give you just a little preview of it, it's the second in a series from a man named John Slagle, who is a 27-year BP Border Patrol veteran, and his story is absolutely frightening. He talks about Mexican drug rings and coyotes crossing our borders at will, 24/7. They bring in 75% of all illegal drugs sold on the streets of America. Now, what American mother would not want the President and the Congress of the United States to absolutely send troops down on the border to stop the chaos, the addiction, and the nightmare of drugs being so available to our kids that they are walking across the border with 75% of all those illegal drugs sold on the streets of America 24/7. As far as the human cargo, they charge, and they're the coyotes, anywhere from $1,500 to $3,500 per client. And what is so unbelievably unnerving is that the illegals that are already here are making money from U.S. jobs that they get paid under the table, they don't pay taxes on. They're sending that $1,500 client charge back to Mexico via the Western Union, and then they're bringing more of their own up here with our own money.
It's incredible. I'll tell you, we had a story up in this neck of the woods, and I'm speaking of Michigan, maybe 7-8 months ago, where the farmers that I know up in the north central part of the state were telling me that they were finding out that a lot of these illegals, these Mexican workers, were coming in, and for $500, they were buying a Social Security number. Now, what they would do is get them an active Social Security number. Now, we're not talking about the guys that go in and get one off of a dead baby or an elderly person or whatever that has gone. They're getting Social Security numbers of active people, live people. And what happens is they stay here only for one year to 18 months, and then they run back down south of the border because it takes that long for the system to catch up with the fact that these guys are using somebody else's number. So they take all that money tax-free because they don't pay any taxes on it. They take that south of the border, and the word I was getting is the poor American who's trying to be law-abiding now has this extra money in his name, and from what I was told, the IRS is going after him and telling him they owe the tax on that money, even though that money was made by somebody else who's living south of the border now. I mean, that sounds completely ludicrous, except for the fact that everything I hear out of Washington, D.C. and the state capitol is ludicrous anymore. So that makes it believable that they actually could be that asinine. But, what kind of insanity? This nation is completely insane. And the most insane part
is that we keep looking to government officials to solve our problems when they, in fact, are the problem.
Well, in the case of Jeb Bush in Florida, and as a matter of fact, on a panel that voted for this, there was 13-1 in favor of the illegal aliens, and of course, then Jeb Bush threw his support in behind this illegal alien driver's license, and so hundreds of thousands, and if not a million illegal aliens will now have, are coming up to have the ability, like in many other states, a legal document in our country, and they are here illegally, and yet the Congress of the United States, led by the two senators from every state and the representatives from every state, are not doing their jobs.
Absolutely.
And because they aren't, this is some of the story that I reported on.
Uh-huh.
Number one, illegal aliens in this country send $56 billion back to their home countries. That breaks down to $15 billion goes to Mexico annually. And what is so amazing is Vicente Fox sends us his poorest, his least, if not totally uneducated masses up here, to the tune of 2.3 million each year from around the world and mostly from Mexico. And then they, being loyal Mexicans, send him $15 billion. It's the second leading revenue source, I think, for Mexico behind the oil. These immigrants also send $25 billion to the Caribbean, Central, and South America. The Latin immigrants are here illegally and illegally, and $16 billion goes off to Asia. So you can see why America's coffers are being drained at an incredible rate of speed, to the tune of, as February of this year, U.S. taxpayers have had and seen their national federal debt cross over $7 trillion. We're so far in the debt, up to our ears that we'll never get out of it. And it is portends the potential for a collapse. And of course, we have $2 trillion of consumer debt, just personal consumer debt. And again, as I talked before, the average credit card is $8,000 in debt. And so that when you have all these illegal aliens and immigrants sending back $56 billion per year, you're talking, we're starting to owe other countries because we're having so much debt, and other countries are buying up our debt, but we'll have to pay them. And so anyway, John Slagle is a retired U.S. Border Patrol agent of 27 years, and he minces no words in his stories. And he talks to me just this last week. He's down there on the Tohono O'odham Indian Nation, and he said, just in 2003, 1,500 illegal border crossers per day were estimated on the Indian reservation, in excess, and I quote, of 300,000 pounds of narcotics were seized, and 80 illegal aliens were found dead in the desert. And you have to understand about, we spend $80 billion a year on the war on drugs. What we need to do is spend $80 billion just to pay the Army to go down there and stand on the border and stop this, but we're paying $80 billion after the drugs come in. And anytime a drug lord or a drug pusher or a coyote or a smuggler is killed down there on the border, he is replaced within 24 hours. That's why the war on drugs is such a waste of taxpayer dollars, because it is doing nothing. You can go out on the streets of Detroit, Lansing, Grand Rapids right now, or even Cadillac, Michigan, and you can score drugs right now. Because look at that. In excess of 300,000 pounds of narcotics were seized right there in 2003. And then he says, massive tons of trash left behind by the illegals is a serious and costly problem for the Hono Nation. And and we're talking unbelievable ecological crisis. He goes to the point here, and I'll quote it again. What he said, Joseph Matthews videotaped many areas which are a blight and an eyesore and an environmental hazard in southern Arizona. One site had over 100 half-full plastic water jugs, discarded clothing, jackets, old socks, bloody bandages, baby diapers, soiled, food containers, empty and full, as well as human feces, soiled toilet paper, and rags. We observed 5 additional layup areas within a 2-kilometer range of the Diamond Bell Ranch. One site had over 50 backpacks and fresh signs that indicated the group of 50 or more had been loaded up within its previous 24 hours. And he just goes on. He says, the washes are cluttered with debris left by illegal aliens and narcotics transporters. Many of the packs contained evidence of the owner's nationality, which were discarded. And then he starts breaking that down. Mexican credulas, telephone calling cards, and documents from El Salvador, Guatemala, Iraq, Iran, Colombia, and other Middle Eastern countries.
Incredible.
It's incredible. It's breathtaking, isn't it?
You know what? I've been following this for some time, and it's still incredible. I can't imagine somebody listening in for the first time and hearing this. It's got to have a sense of being overwhelming. But it is true, folks. You need to pay attention to what Frosty's saying. You need to get to your friends, your neighbors, your local representatives, etc., and let them know that we are under invasion. Frosty, I was going to ask you, from where you're sitting, we have this multifaceted multitude of events happening here. Do you see? I mean, I believe we're at the point where collapse is imminent. Do you see the collapse coming from all these things crushing in on us almost together? Or do you see a singular event, whether it's immigration or not, a singular event sparking the absolute implosion?
What we're going to see if we continue to do nothing, and I see if we, American citizens, clamor in mass, and I mean in the millions, if we clamor to the senators and the Congress and start screaming at the president with emails, letters to the editor, talk shows, and force our way onto television and force the issue, we can save this country by shutting the borders down for a minimum of 10 years. And then after that, we can only let in 100,000 immigrants per year at a maximum, and that we must absolutely insist that all programming and schools and everything in this country is English. We would have at that point, and that we deport these illegal aliens, and that we only absorb and take and enjoy the ones who want to be American citizens and Americanized, we have a chance to save this country, and it is my appreciation that the internet is our biggest ally, and such organizations as numbersusa.com, we can save ourselves, because we are still in the majority American citizens who love this country, and we have our sense of values, we have the rule of law, we have the RICO laws on the books. We only have to go out again, as my dad used to say, God helps those who help themselves. We have to not just pray. You have to move your feet. You have to type with your fingers. You've got to talk. You've got to speak up. You've got to say something. You've got to get angry. And then you have to demand action. I call my senators every day with my suggestions. They just love me down there at Campbell and Allard's office and Mark Udall's office, because I call every day. I pay their wages. I absolutely demand I get action. And so we could. If we don't, if we continue the way we're going right now, you're going to see major riots, crises in specific areas such as Southern California, you're going to see the breakdown of services, and then you're going to start seeing such things as cholera outbreaks, because these immigrants enclave, and as they enclave and bring their third world hygiene and sanitation with them, which is virtually nothing, you're going to have major medical crisis. And of course, as you know already, and we talked about, 77 hospitals last year on the border states were bankrupt, all because they were serving all of these immigrants and illegal aliens to such a degree that they can't pay. And what most Americans don't realize yet is we're talking millions and millions. It costs us in excess of $90 billion to deal with not only the illegal aliens each year, but the legal immigrants, because they virtually come from countries with no education. They don't speak English. It costs us $7.4 billion a year for ESL, English as a second language, to teachers who have to teach it. And guess what, Pastor Dan? Mostly it's not working, because these people from Latin America feel that they're coming up here with an ethnocentric view that their language and their culture, it needs to be transplanted into America. And this will be brought out in my book by a Mexican-American.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, and let me give out the call-in number in case anybody has a question again. It's 260-356-2611. And again, that's 260-356-2611. Well, you know, you mentioned earlier something that kind of triggered a thing that we have here quite often, is that you pray as if it all depends on God, and then you act as if it all depends on you.
Thank you very much.
I mean, that's the principle taught in the Bible. Prayer is okay, folks. It really is. But it doesn't substitute for action. Never has, never will. A lot of people say, well, when David was getting ready to take on Goliath, he prayed, well, vengeance is the Lord's. Well, he was praying that while he was picking up the stones that he was going to use to put right between the eyes of Goliath. So the case, or the lesson learned from that story, of course, is what I just said. You're praying that he makes your aim true. You're praying that he gives you the words to put on the paper that you send to your congressman, or that you speak over the talk show program. But you still got to, as Frosty said, you still got to get off your rear end and write the letters, make the phone calls, contact your neighbors, get involved. We're in this fix because we have turned into couch potatoes who aren't doing anything. And so, you know, here again, I don't know. I guess it gets down to whether, is there enough Americans who care enough to want to do anything to try to save this nation?
I'm an optimist, and I'm also a realist, and I can guarantee this as a Michigan State University graduate with common sense, in a sense of right and wrong, a Michigan boy, that the more Americans are affected by this crisis, this invasion, just like Betsy Ross was, just like Thomas Jefferson, just like Eleanor Roosevelt, Susan B. Anthony, as I've said before, those Americans in their time were called. And there are going to be American citizens who are going to rise up. And even though so many Americans today are sitting there eating Tom Monahan's, delivered hot pizza and pushing the remote control and drinking their Pepsi or Coca-Cola or whatever it is, they are going to be affected here in the coming months.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely invite each one of them who has done nothing to start doing something, and then we will collectively, as a nation right there in the Midwest, in the great state of Michigan, and when we start taking action, we will start moving heaven and earth, and this country is going to stand up, because American citizens are going to, and that is my expectation. I cannot sit here and think that this country is so unloved by the silent American, if you will, that they sit here and do nothing until the last minute when it's going to be too late. I am absolutely inviting all Americans to jump on the internet, get to Numbers USA, get to the website, get to my website. It will direct you. It will give you an action list. Get to your mother, your father, your grandfather, everybody that can walk, talk, or sing, or dance, and start doing something for America. And so, yes, it is my conviction that when we do that, with the intentions that we take with us, we will save and preserve this country.
I got a suggestion. Why don't you come back to Michigan and run for governor?
Well, actually, they're asking me to run for Congress right here up against Mark Udall.
Okay. Well, I'll put my name on the ballot as a write-in.
Yeah, I've been asked that many times, and at some point I may move into the political realm. However, at this point, I'm most effective at writing this book and getting on national TV because I am going to stand up for this country, and boy, do I, this book, once this book comes out, it is going to rock.
Okay.
It's going to rock.
Excellent. We're out of time, Crosby. Thanks a million for being on.
And I can be with you on the 22nd, but I can't be next week, so the 22nd, we can plan on a program together, Pastor Dan.
Very good. The 22nd, then.
It's a pleasure, sir.
Yep. God bless. Take care. Thanks, folks. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8. Take care, everybody.
This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.